Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. I was again blessed to sit there and hear the word of God. I too was impressed with that song, Tread Softly. A very familiar song, and yet a very deep message. Did you come here expecting to meet Christ? I hope you did. And as we gather together in reverence, we can hear his voice through his word. I want to tell you, as an introduction to the message, about an attraction that many of you know about in Pennsylvania. In the heart of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is a little town of Paradise, Pennsylvania. And you can get there in a couple of different ways, but one that is very popular among people is the train. In Paradise, Pennsylvania, well, actually starts in Strasburg, Pennsylvania, is an old steam railroad terminal. And if you want to go on that train, you go to a ticket counter and you purchase a ticket. At the right moment, you board the train, you seat yourself in the coach car or whichever car you're on. As you're traveling down that track, a conductor comes back through the cars, he looks at your tickets, and he punches them. He examines that ticket for a prior punch, which they do it so quickly and so rapidly, you don't even really think about it, that that's what they're doing. But they're looking to see if that ticket was punched before, if that's a valid ticket, or if it was already used. And in a few minutes, you arrive at Paradise, Pennsylvania. That destination is nothing in comparison to what we are traveling to today. Yes, it's a quiet spot in the middle of Amish farmland, but the peace that is there doesn't in any way rival the peace that the Christian can have in his walk today as he serves Christ. Today, like the tourists on that railroad, we are looking for something special. Something that far outweighs that. You know, there was a time that that railroad industry really struggled. And there was somebody bought the railroad back in 1958 or something like that, I believe. And in 1959, they opened it up not only as a normal railroad carrying freight and passengers, but as a tourist attraction. They made the decision to bring more people into the area by giving it out as a tourist attraction. And I want to say, as we go through the message this morning, as we develop the message, I'm sharing it with each of you. I'm not just sharing it to the members here. I'm sharing it with each of you. I believe God has something in it for all of us. But as we talk about Council and Communion, I'm making the assumption that membership here will be partaking. But I am praying that someday that will be a broader circle of the people here on these benches, on these chairs. Just like the people that bought that railroad appealed to the masses, I today am appealing that someday more of you would choose to lay your membership lot with us here and would be able to join us in services such as this. I'm glad for everyone that is here, and let's worship the Lord together. So much for the introduction. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. Since the introduction was so long, I put that as the first point of my message. Second point here is the biblical mandate for a pure communion. And we're taking that from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 34. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, I'm going to read that at this time. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." We have this passage because of some problems in the Corinthian church. That's why we have some of these verses here. I'm not focusing on that. I am focusing on the importance of a pure communion. I've entitled my message, "Have I Arrived?" And the second main point here, the biblical mandate for a pure communion. First sub-point that I want to bring out here is communion is a reminder of Christ, who is pure. Christ walked this earth without sin. He faced the same situations that you and I face in life. Yes, he lived in a different culture, but he faced things that are common to man. And he did it in purity. He did it without sin. How many of us, as we walk this earth, struggle with the temptations of sin around us? What do we do with that? Do we claim the grace of God to live it in, to live our lives in purity? We serve a Christ who is pure. And communion next week will be a celebration. Let me not say it that way, a remembrance, a memorial of what Christ did for us. And the second point is, Christ's sacrifice was so we can be pure and free from sin. And as we commemorate communion, it's very unlike the crosses you see by the roadside by times with wreaths on them, with somebody's name on, died here, such and such a date. It's not the same. Christ came to us from glory. He came to us. Actually, the very next verse in the passage that Brother Steve read was Christ saying, "I and my Father are one." That's what sets him apart. He is the Son of God. In the Old Testament times, the Jewish people were very familiar with bringing sacrifices every year for the atonement of sin. That stopped. It's no longer needed because Christ came as the ultimate sacrifice. He is the sacrifice for sin. The lambs were not perfect, even though they picked the best out of the flock that they could find. But Christ is perfect. Christ is pure. So his sacrifice takes away sin and allows us to claim purity as well. Not because I've never sinned, but because I've asked for the forgiveness of Christ and his blood has taken that away. I have here a little drawing. I'm not much of an artist, but I thought I would try. I'd like one of the children to tell me what you see here on this board. What do you see? Can you all see it? Can you see it over there? Let me cock it just a little bit. That's not going to work. Okay. Lorna, what do you see? A heart. Okay. What do you see in the heart? Okay, Lexus. Dots, yeah. If we were to do open heart surgery on any one of us here and open it up, what would we think about dots in the heart? Who wants to tell me? What would you think about dots in the heart? Brendan? Holes. We would think they don't belong there. Who wants to try to get rid of these dots with this marker right here? Here, Dan, you do it. See what you can do with those dots with that marker. What can we do with it? Go ahead. Okay. I got rid of some of the dots. I'll take the marker. Okay. Is the heart better now? We got rid of some of the dots. No. I see heads nodding no. What can we do to get rid of the dots? Yes, Daniel.
Eraser.
An eraser. You would like an eraser this time. Go ahead. Try. Let's see if we can get rid of the dots. Okay, thank you. Does the heart look better now? It does. Jesus is our eraser. Jesus is our eraser. The dots are a type of sin. As humans, we're tempted with that. And sometimes we fall. Sometimes we fall. And it makes dots on our heart. It makes, in Spanish we say manchas, it makes ugly spots on our heart. And as humanity, we try to get rid of them. Our human nature tries to get rid of them by burying them. Just like we did with that marker. We buried them. But that really didn't take the dots away, did it? The dots were still there. They were just buried. And the heart got uglier in the process. And I'm going to come back to that thought in a little bit. When we go into communion, and this is my third subpoint, verse 27 tells us about this. When we go into communion with those dots on our heart, When we eat and drink unworthily, we shall be guilty of the blood of Jesus. We don't want those dots on our heart when we go into communion, because it says we will be guilty of the blood of Jesus. It is making a mockery of what Jesus did to commemorate his salvation with sin in our lives. And that's why we have this time of examination. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Third main point of my message is that purity needs to be a walk of life. And I want to read a couple of verses. We're going to come back here to 1 Corinthians. But in 2 Timothy, verse 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read just verses 20 to 22. And it says this: If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I'm sorry, I missed a verse here. The verse before that talks about how we can be vessels of gold, or we can be vessels of wood or of earth. Verse 22 says, Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Purity needs to be a walk of life. It's not something that just happens. It's a way we live. We need to flee the lusts, the sin. And we need to choose to allow God to make of us a vessel of honor, a vessel suitable for his use. On the drive between, on Route 64, between Charleston, West Virginia, and Huntington, West Virginia, there's a sign out along the interstate that says Glass Factory Tours. And we've stopped in there as a family a couple of times. We actually enjoy watching them. They take the glass and they make vessels. To make those vessels, there's a bunch of people in a dirty shop. The core feature of that shop is furnaces. There's furnaces all throughout that shop. And then there's men sitting on chairs that are taking hot glass, that hot that it can be molded. And they're blowing that glass. They have tubes that they will blow into it. And it will allow them to expand a lump of glass and make a beautiful vessel. Only those people that are blowing that glass know how to make that glass just right. As you walk in into the shop, you pass a big yard where there's lots of shattered glass. Many of those blobs of glass did not form properly. Why? It may have been a mistake of the artist. In our case, when we're dealing with Christ, though, it's always the latter. Sometimes there's imperfections in the glass, and it just did not mold up properly. Today, again, the challenge is that we live lives that are free of those imperfections, that God can, welcome, that God can do what he wants with us. Okay, the fourth section, and we're taking this again from 1 Corinthians 11, the challenge to self-examination. Sometimes we may refer to this as an examination service. But I would like to say, based on verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, that the examination should already be done. Through this week, I trust you were praying to ask God to reveal anything in your life that does not belong there. And I trust that if God revealed something to you, that you took care of it with the blood of Jesus, that you claimed atonement from him. This is a call to self-examination. Examine yourself. I'll comment a little bit more on it later. But after a while, we're going to go out and we're going to share. But we're sharing the results of self-examination. We're sharing what you found in your life. Is your life pure? If there was an issue, did you take care of it? Are you ready? Do you desire to take the communion? Okay, the second point under here, and we touched on this a little bit in the prior section, verse 29, I'm sorry. Wrong spot in my notes. Second point is accountability to the brotherhood. When we chose a membership in the congregation, one brother recently put it this way. We were saying, God, here I am. I'm placing myself here to be used how you want me to be used. When we choose to associate ourselves with brothers and sisters of the Lord, we are inviting them to share with us, to encourage us on the way, to share with us if they see something that is not right, something that's going to make us stumble and fall, or maybe they witnessed that we did stumble and fall. We're inviting accountability. And I have this section divided up into four subpoints. The first one is that we're choosing accountability when we choose membership in a congregation. The second one, verse 30 says, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep because of eating and drinking unworthily in the communion of God. When one is impure, it brings sickness among you. Again, I want to challenge us to purity. Purity in our walk. If there is something there, claim the blood of Christ to take care of it. As a part of accountability to the brotherhood, my third subpoint is, we share our counsel with the brotherhood. Today we're going to do what we call sharing a peace testimony. Or sharing a testimony. We call it a peace testimony kind of with the assumption that in our examination we've taken care of any issues. But we share with the brotherhood. We allow ourselves to be open before the brotherhood. We allow them to approach us. We don't wait for them to approach us. We share with them what our walk with Christ is doing. Is it profitable? Is it not? We don't reserve corners to hide from our brethren. We share it. To the flesh, that seems scary. But I'd like to testify there's not a more blessed place to be. Just to be living an open life before Christ. And others who are in the same ship, others who are following Christ. My fourth subpoint under accountability is we share communion with the brotherhood, the ones we know. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because my sixth point here, sixth main part of the message, I have entitled Close Communion. For those of you who weren't here in the whole message, we're welcoming everybody here. The membership today and next week are very special days because we are preparing for the Holy Communion. In this service, there will be a small part of this service devoted to the membership giving testimonies of their self-examination throughout the week. Am I ready? Is my life clear and free of sin? Have I taken care of any issues that have arisen? And am I ready to, in purity, partake of the Holy Communion? When we talk of close communion, my first subpoint under here is it means it's membership. It's people that we know, people that we've shared with, people that we have walked through the preparations with. Today, in a few minutes, the service is going to take two avenues. There will be many of the people that will be having a little song service. There will be, I believe we're all present here, 12 of us as members that will go out to actually share our testimonies with each other. Just to testify that we have indeed examined our lives through the week and are ready to take part in Holy Communion. I want to call attention with the next point to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. It says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And as we read on, it is talking of the people that were part of the church at Corinth here. God is expecting us to, it uses the term here, judge ourselves. We're supposed to look at our own lives and say, is this right? Is it not? But this service is not in any way to judge those who did not come with the preparations to partake of the council or the Holy Communion. Today, if you're here on, if you're part of the group that is on the chairs, I would like to say, you are here, you're invited here. We want you to be here. We are not in any way saying that you came. Okay. We're not in any way saying that this means you're not a Christian. No. The communion is being shared with those who have prior expressed their membership, their lot here. In a few minutes, we're actually going to be going out to the council room. I trust that we can each take the challenge to examine our lives. Examine our lives. Is my life what God wants it to be? As I go through the week, keep examining your lives. Is my life what God wants it to be? You know, it's pretty easy to come and manifest something that looks good today. But purity goes way beyond that. The question I gave at the outstart was, have I arrived? I would like to suggest that while we may be able to express purity in our lives, there's still something to strive for. The journey continues. Let's keep traveling on. Let's keep traveling on. So I want to leave this with us. Claim purity by the blood of Jesus. In this way, we can have fellowship with Him and He with us. So God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.